Again, good morning. It's an honor to have you with us this morning as we consider God's Word together today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In the words of Jesus, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. These are probably some of the most comforting and reassuring words in the entire Bible. Even if you don't know much about what a shepherd does, these words hit home for us in a way that's so important for many, many Christians. It's the reason that these words show up at funerals. They show up precisely in those moments where we need to derive hope and comfort from God's Word. They come to mind in times of danger and in need. At least I hope that they do for you. What good news it is that we have a shepherd. A good shepherd. This fourth week of the Easter season, as I mentioned earlier, is often called Good Shepherd Sunday. And you may have noticed in our reading, especially our gospel, especially our responsive psalm, that this reality of Jesus being our good shepherd has come to the forefront. Now, in the ancient world, shepherds were not highly regarded or respected. A lot of people kind of looked down upon them. They smelled bad. They were out on the fields by themselves. And yet, what they did in their job was of such importance that God would often use that imagery of a shepherd to relate to his work in caring for us. And he would call the kings and the religious leaders of the people of Israel to act as shepherds to the people. Now, I would imagine that you need all sorts of positive qualities to be a good shepherd. But there are two that I think come to the forefront. And they're really highlighted in the words of Jesus in John chapter 10. The first quality I believe you need to be a good shepherd is you have to love the sheep. You have to love them enough that their well-being counts as more important than your own. Coupled with that love is courage. Courage to face whatever dangers might be confronting the flock so that you might face them and put them down. Love for the sheep. The second characteristic that a good shepherd needs, I believe, is the power or the competence to actually carry out his job. So on one hand, you love the sheep and count their livelihood as more important than your own, but you also need to be competent when the wolf comes or the lion or the bear. Like, you have to actually be able to fight them and keep them away from your sheep. If you're missing one or the other, the sheep are going to be in trouble. If I love the sheep dearly, but I am not physically able to protect them, the sheep are in danger. Or on the other side, if I'm physically able, but I don't really care that much for the sheep, well, that's bad news as well. And unfortunately, God's people in the Old Testament, the Israelites, faced those kinds of shepherds. They had those kinds of shepherds, unfortunately, from time to time in the history of God's people. Uncaring, incompetent shepherds who were unable to protect them from the dangers they faced because they were more concerned with enriching themselves than caring for the flock, caring for the people. We hear about this especially in a place like Ezekiel chapter 34. You've got the prophet Ezekiel speaking the message of God, and through the prophet, God says, I am against the shepherds of my people. He's talking about the kings. He's talking about the religious leaders. Why is he against the shepherds? Because they're taking advantage of their position. They're butting the other sheep out of the way so that they can have the best of the best while the others are left hanging, left hungry, left in need. They're using their position of power and influence for their own benefit and not for the good of the people that are entrusted to them. And so God says, I'm against these shepherds and I will remove them. But then he makes a promise. It's really important. God says, I myself will come and be the shepherd of my people. I will lead them to pasture. I will make them safe, and they will be unafraid with me. And then a few verses later, he'll say, my servant David will serve as shepherd over them. Now, at this point in the story, David had already lived and died a few hundred years earlier. So we're not talking about King David, we're talking about David's ultimate descendant, the Messiah, who's going to come. So we have this promise from God that he himself is going to come and be the shepherd. We have this promise that when he comes, he will come as the ultimate descendant of David, the Messiah. Now we fast forward to John chapter 10. Jesus stands before the religious leaders of his day, and he says to them, I am the good shepherd. You see what's happening here? This is not simply a cute or comforting analogy about how Jesus cares for people. Jesus is activating all of these Old Testament promises. The promise in Ezekiel 34 that God himself will come, that the ultimate descendant of David will come. Even Psalm 23, where we hear the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd, and Jesus comes along and says, yeah, that's me. I am the good shepherd. God in the flesh come to defend, protect, and provide for my people in a way that no one else possibly could. I will love them. I will defend them because I have both the heart and the power to do so. Now, we've seen those twin dynamics of love and power from Jesus over the last several weeks as we've made our journey up to this point. Prior to the Easter season, we made the journey of Lent. And Lent is all about love. The love of God for us. Love that would come to us. Love that would lay down his life for us. Isaiah the prophet would write, we all like sheep had gone astray. Each of us had turned to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. St. Paul will say, you know, it's possible that for a good person, someone might dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, code language, enemies of God, wandering sheep, Christ the Messiah died for us. There is no greater love than the love of the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, wandering sheep. But we don't only see love from Jesus, we see power as well. We come to the Easter season, we come to what happens on the third day after Jesus' crucifixion, his glorious resurrection, his coming out of that tomb, body and soul on that day, to affirm exactly what he said in John chapter 10. I have the authority to lay down my life, and I have the authority to take it up again. The power of Jesus on display in the resurrection, defeating your greatest enemies, sin, death, Satan. They have no power over you because your victorious king lives. Here's a question. Would it be like bad news if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? Absolutely yes. If our shepherd remains in the grave, we are still vulnerable. The enemies could still come and attack us and scatter us, destroy the flock. But the good shepherd who died defending the sheep is risen again. He has taken up his life again. He has the power to defend his flock. He has the power to protect us. He has the power to keep us. And he'll say a little bit later on in John 10, no one can snatch them out of my hand. And no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The love of the good shepherd. The power of the good shepherd is what we cling to. So what are some takeaways from these readings? When we hear John 10, when we hear Psalm 23, what are some things that we're meant to take away as God's people? The first thing, I believe, is that we're meant to take away confidence. We take away confidence in the sufficiency of Jesus, his ability to love and protect and keep us. And by the way, this confidence does not come naturally to us because we, like sheep, are pretty good at getting distracted and wandering and looking at things that are exciting and imagining that something or someone other than God can give us what will make us truly happy and truly provided for and cared for. There's a reason that Jesus talks about a shepherd leaving 99 on the hillside and going in search, because we end up often being that one that's wandered away, and the good shepherd needs to run after us and find us and pick us up and take us back home on his shoulders. So today is a day where we're reminded, if we've been wandering, that our good shepherd is enough, that our life is found in nowhere else than hearing his voice and following where he leads. The second takeaway is, I believe, for those of us who are at the same time sheep and under-shepherds. So I'm talking about like myself in my context as pastor of this congregation. And I'm also talking about any context in which you have been given authority by God to care for people who might be counting on you. It could be in your home. Maybe you have children who are looking up to you. It could be your spouse who's looking to you. It could be your place of employment where there are those under your care and you're seeking to serve them as someone who has authority over them. Anywhere where God has called you to a place where others are counting on you, we learn from our good shepherd Jesus what it looks like to lead and to love and to serve. That real leadership looks like laying down my life. In other words, counting the needs of others as more important than my own. That being a good under-shepherd starts with serving and putting myself below someone else in order to help them, because that's what my Savior Jesus did for me. To be an under-shepherd, under the good shepherd, means that I'm growing in competence as well, that I'm meant to train, that I'm meant to learn, that I'm meant to become more competent in my calling because other people are counting on me as well. So whether it's me as pastor or you as a parent or manager, wherever God has given you authority, he's also given you the call to grow in your ability to carry out that authority well, because others count on you. Others may be vulnerable to lies or to the attacks of the evil one. Others may need the protection that you, in the position God has given you, can provide. And so as a sheep who first of all puts my trust in my good shepherd, I pray that God would strengthen and keep me and equip me so that I might also be of service to you, that you might also know the love and the blessing of the good shepherd through an under-shepherd. And perhaps you know in your own life where that calling fits for you as well. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And God, our shepherd, in love for you and for me, became a human being so that he might lay down his life to save us from our sin and take it up again to be our shepherd forever. So take comfort today in being his precious lamb. Hear his voice. Trust his love and his power and follow closely after him. And if God has called you to care for his lambs, teach them to do the same. In the name of the good shepherd Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds today and always. Christ Jesus, our King, our good shepherd. Amen.